Jonathan. Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find at the top of your bulletin. I need to start today with the variety show. You may have seen it advertised in your newsletter. There's a big piece on it, the newsletter, and there's a mention of it in the bulletin. But I think you don't want to miss it. Our illustrious minister will be throwing knives at this event. And even more so, one of our very brave members, Peggy Cheesham, is going to let him throw knives at her. So I really think you want to be present tonight. And of course, I understand, I have heard by the grapevine, that the famous Shelley cake that went for over $100 last year is going to be available. Not the same cake, but that same recipe is being prepared for tonight, so you don't want to miss that either. So the annual youth variety show will be a real treat tonight. Next weekend is Mother's Day, and we have all sorts of things on the menu for mothers, from the mother-daughter luncheon on Saturday to the special breakfast. And I do want to put in a plug. We will have made-to-order omelets by one of our many talented chefs, Dennis Moore, to raise money for the choir fund, the choir music fund. There will be a tip jar, and we hope that you will be very generous to supply our choir and music fund with some resources. So don't forget that when you are planning your Mother's Day events. And of course, this next week is the beginning of the circles. So check your time and place. One circle will be going to Columbia on Tuesday, to Epworth, and to Killingsworth House. So touch base, find your schedule, and attend your circle this next week. Let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
Please rise for the call to worship. Come to praise God, all you faithful people. Come, for God welcomes you and offers to draw you close. Praise to God, who rules over all the earth. Praise to God, who is as near as our next breath. Sun and moon and stars shine in praise to God. God created them and established for each a place. God has a place for us in the world. We have come that God may instruct and equip us. Mountains and hills, trees and animals praise God. Let all the rulers of the earth do as well. God provides abundantly for our needs. God makes of one family all who dwell on earth.
Please be seated, and I invite you to join me in our invocation. We praise you, O God, and celebrate your presence with us. Your glory fills all heaven and earth, all time and space. Your gifts surround us and dwell within us. We are your children. Come to wipe away our tears and comfort us in our distress. Come to heal our divisions and overcome our prejudices. Come that we might be loved into discipleship. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, You can find this on page 158 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, Peter defends his unprecedented decision to baptize the Gentile Cornelius to critics who reflected the early Christian opinion that Jesus was for Jews alone, and that faith must be accompanied by strict adherence to the Jewish law. Peter explains the baptism as a God-inspired act. God led Peter to recognize that the believing Gentiles were included in the kingdom because God granted them the same gifts of the Spirit that the Jewish believers had received. To withhold baptism would have been to oppose God. With this bold act, the church understood that God's impartiality demands the unity of Jews and Gentiles in the life of Christ. Listen now for God's word to us. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you now to join in the reading and the singing of the Psalter. We will be using Psalm 148, which begins on page 861, and I'll call to your attention that it continues at the top of page 862. We'll begin with the sung response, which Joyce will play now.
Things the Creator bless. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all his angels.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars.
Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens.
Let all things the Creator bless. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters, and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's command.
Let all things e'er Creator bless. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above heaven and earth.
The Creator bless. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The epistle reading is from the Revelation to John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, and can be found on page 315 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Here we read of God making a final home among mortals on a new earth and a new universe. Listen again for God's word to us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of the Lord.
As we go together to God in prayer, let me lift up a few names in a special way. Jay Pendergrass will be leaving town to go for treatment in North Carolina this coming Tuesday. Please be in prayer for Jay and his family. Emily Haskin, recovering. Hayden Eigelhart has been in the hospital and remains there. Peggy Ackerman was here at the early service this morning, recovering from her back surgery. Frank Rice, continue to pray for Frank and his time in Afghanistan. We also need to pray for Nancy Morgan as she undergoes further tests and treatments. And we found out this morning that Buck Lawson is also in the hospital. Now, a Thanksgiving. Larry and Martha Moore now are the proud grandparents of Noah Caden Perillo, born Tuesday, the 27th. So let the grandbaby picture competition begin. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we know you from your word as healer, as holy, as righteous judge, as creator. And we know you as Savior for your fallen people, your distorted, confused, and lonely people. Redeem what is good and godly, we pray. Heal our brokenness and our fear of death. Loosen the hold that worldly emptiness has upon our souls. Remind us who we are and who we were meant to be, for you and for each other. We thank you, Lord, for the hope you've given us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for each day in the presence of your Holy Spirit to guide us into new life and new joy. We thank you for the cleansing of your grace. And we breathe deeply of hope in Christ. Now guide our steps in uncertain times. Guide our priorities when so much we have built upon is changing around us. Guide our relationships into newness of life. And where we have cemented stale anger into an uneasy truce, show us the way to real relationships and real love and real peace and real forgiveness. We pray that you open the hearts of our worldly leaders to the influence of your Spirit. Guide those who hold people down, who build themselves up by tearing others down. And help us to understand that though many nations, we live on one world, and this world is yours, Lord. Many are grieving, comfort them. Some are hurt and bitter and don't even remember why. Give them peace, Lord. Give them direction. Some of us are hurt because we trusted and were betrayed. Give us courage to trust again. And all of us need the comfort and presence of your Spirit to be enabled to love and to lift up and to embrace others as Christ has loved, forgiven, and lifted us up. And now, Lord, we lift up the prayers of our hearts in this moment of holy silence. Hear us as we lift our prayers to you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. And I remind you, the pledge cards, I think the ushers have a few of those for our mid-year, one-year pledge for the indebtedness. And they should have been mailed this past week to your homes. If you don't have one yet and would like one, I believe the ushers have a few here today. Let us continue our worship.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting us with enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
I'm going to need the help of my acolyte today. Where? Oh, there you are. With your lighter. Yes, the lighter. There. I was looking. I thought it was behind Heron. Okay. I don't have my glasses on. I need a hymnal first. Any hymnal will do. Have you ever noticed on the front of all sorts of things around this church, we have this? Have you ever seen this on the front of the church? Do you see this? It's a picture of a cross with some red flames on the side. Looks like a fire. Have you ever noticed that on every single hymnal? Have you seen that anywhere else around the church? Where? You don't remember? I'll give you a hint. It's on the side of the new building near the playground in brick. Big cross with the flames, the reddish bricks, over to the side of the cross. Have you noticed that? You've been in the playground, right? You have seen that. Okay, I want you to look the next time. Now, I have a new robe. And look, it's also got the cross and the flames. And we've got a flame right here. What is the deal with this flame symbol all around the church? Do you know? You do know? What does it mean? The light of Jesus is not a bad answer. Anytime the preacher asks a question, Jesus is probably the answer, but not this time. We just got through hearing the choir sing a song, and they sang about God the Father, the Creator, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. And then we also know God in a third way. What is that third way? God the Father, Creator God. It's only one God, but we know God. We can't fit all of God in our brains. We just can't do it. Our brains aren't big enough. But we know God as Creator and Father, as the Son and Savior, and we know God as big people. Holy Spirit. And we sing that, and we say that, and we pray that. And the symbol of God with us now is these candles. When we light them, we are saying, God, the Holy Spirit is in this place. God is with us to comfort us, to guide us, to enable us to grow in our faith and be more like Jesus. And that means be more loving, more forgiving, more compassionate, even to enemies. And so, when we light a candle, if I put out the flame, that'd be an entirely different sort of symbol. When we light a candle, we are saying God is in this place. And when we have on our robes, or when we have on the side of our buildings, or on our Bibles, or on the front of every hymnal, what we are saying is God the Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus said, I am going to ascend to the Father, but I will send the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and from the Son. We don't want to get into all the theology of that. I don't even pretend to understand it myself. But the Spirit is God with us now. I think it's a pretty comforting thing to know that Jesus didn't just leave us here. God the Spirit is with us now. When you see the flame lit at the beginning of worship, that's what it means. God is here. And when we put out the flame and go forth with it out of this sanctuary, that means God's Spirit goes with us into the world. That also is a great comfort. We are never, ever alone. So everybody kind of get around me. Let's have a prayer. And y'all just say the amen part. Okay? You want to hold somebody's hand? You don't want to hold? Okay. Here's a time for another children's sermon about holding people's hands. No, come on, let's hold hands. Let's hold hands. Everybody hold somebody's hand. Everybody touch somebody. It's okay, even if it's a girl. It's okay. All right, let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for being present with us, for showing us and teaching us about who you are through your Son, Jesus Christ, but being present with us now through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the comfort, for the encouragement, for the power to grow from faith to deeper faith, to grow as your children and to share your light with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Now let us pass the peace. Let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh.
Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him and himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, my title, Love One Another, It's the Law. I hope it'll make some sense before this is over with. But to kind of ease on into it, I looked through some states that still have some unusual laws on the book, and you have to kind of wonder, how did those laws ever get on the books? You wonder, did the lawmakers read the laws before they were passed? Here are a few laws from the state of Alabama, apparently still on the books. It is illegal to sell peanuts in Lee County after sundown on Wednesday. I don't know. It's about church. It is illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. It's a law on the books. You also may not have in Alabama an ice cream cone in your back pocket at any time. Now, this is interesting. Several states had laws about ice cream cones in back pockets. There must have been a fad. I don't know. In New York State, not to just pick on Alabama, citizens may not greet each other by putting one's thumb to the nose and wiggling the fingers. I hope I haven't offended anyone. I have no idea what that means. In North Carolina, it is against the law to sing off-key. I may be a felon. Elephants may not be used to plow cotton fields in North Carolina. In South Carolina, it is against the law to keep a horse in a bathtub. It once was commanded, it was on the books, in South Carolina that every adult male must bring a rifle to church on Sunday, quote, to ward off Indian attacks, unquote. Now, these are some strange laws on the books. But I said all of that to sort of ask you, how can Jesus give a new commandment, that is a new law, to love one another as he has loved us? How can you command love? Now let's see what the Apostle Paul says. You know, he was a lawyer, and the law to him was the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Here is how Paul integrated and meshed together the law of Moses and Jesus' teaching. You can find this in the 13th chapter of Romans. I'm just going to read three verses. Paul says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law." That's a very weighty statement. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. As a rabbi and a lawyer, Paul was very interested in fulfilling the law. Romans 13:9, the very next verse. The commandments, and he's essentially saying, you know the ones, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And then Paul says, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Imagine, any other commandment summed up in the sentence, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The next verse, Romans 13:10. Love, he writes, does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, isn't that refreshing? All the Ten Commandments and all the hundreds of regulations that sprang from them are boiled down to one easy task: love your neighbor as you love yourself. Easy? No, not really. Because where there are many words, you can find room to wiggle out of things. And if fulfilling the law of God is boiled down to loving each other as you love yourself,
or as Jesus loved us, that's even a higher standard, there really is not much wiggle room, is there? You either do it or you don't. You are either fulfilling God's law or you are not. Now, you may have heard the story. I know you've heard it because I've told it twice before, and you didn't react properly, and I'm moving in 7 or 8 weeks, so I'm going to tell it one more time. This is your last shot. The story about a psychology professor who had no children of his own, but whenever he saw a neighbor scolding a child of theirs, he would say, no, you should love the boy. Don't punish him. Don't yell at him. Well, one hot summer afternoon, the professor built the forms, and he was doing a little patching in his driveway and making a new sidewalk and out of cement. And after several hours of work and wiping the sweat from his forehead, he started toward the house, and he noticed out of the corner of his eye a mischievous little boy putting his handprints in the fresh cement. Well, he rushed over there, he grabbed him, he shook him, and he was yelling at him, and then a neighbor leaned out of his door and said, "Watch it, Professor, don't you remember, you should love the boy." And the professor yelled back furiously, "I do love him in the abstract, but not in the concrete." Now, that was a long way to go, wasn't it? But Jesus gave a new command that we love one another concretely, not theoretically. I've often heard moms and dads say to children, "Play nice." And moms and dads will say, "Well, you know, just try to like each other. You know, be polite to each other." And a mom might even say, "You know, just behave." But I don't think any parent would command a child, "You will like little Johnny. You will like little Susie." I've had children, and they won't like people if they don't. You can't command someone to like, much less to love. So what about Jesus' commandment, a commandment that some call the 11th commandment, in addition to the very law of God, to love one another? Is it nonsensical? Is it absurd? I know in some relationships the commandment to love one another would be more of a miracle than raising the dead. Because in some relationships a commandment for two folks to love one another would be equal to indeed raising something that is dead. But you know, Jesus is not impressed with impossibilities. Jesus has commanded more than one impossible thing. What of the time he commanded Lazarus, who was dead, to come out of the tomb? And he did. Or the time Jesus commanded the crippled man to get up and walk, and he did. And Jesus also said some pretty impossible things too, such as, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Or when he said, "The Father and I are one." Yes, Jesus did believe that he had the power to command, to add an 11th commandment, and he did add it, impossible or not. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. By this, if you have love for one another." Yes, it was a commandment with some reasoning behind it. A new commandment that he gave with the very voice and authority of God the Father, so that when others saw the way we loved one another, they would see that we are indeed disciples of Jesus. And if we don't especially love one another, then they would see that we are not really functioning as disciples of Jesus. But who does Jesus think he is commanding us to love one another? I think he thinks, "When you see me, you have seen the Father." I think he thinks that the Father and I are one. I think he thinks I get to make new commandments. I think he thinks he is God in flesh. And so we are commanded to love one another. It is the law and the prophets and the sum of what Jesus did and lived and wants to see in our lives. It is all the Bible boiled down and distilled into an elixir that heals every relationship, every heart. And of Christians, it is required. God commands that we love one another because that is what we were made for. We were not made for safety. We were not made for the acquisition of things, not for keeping score or fame. We were made to live connected to God and connected to each other.
And all the Ten Commandments, if you look at them carefully, spell out how to be connected to God and to each other. Love vertically and love horizontally. Now, I want you to think about this differently. This is something I have never tried before, but it makes sense to me. To me, this commandment is in a way parallel, along the same lines, of the time that Jesus commanded his disciples. There were 5,000 hungry people. They had been listening to Jesus. They were away from town. The disciples had very little money. It was getting near dark, and Jesus commanded his disciples. He said, "You feed them." And the disciples said, "No way. We can't." And you remember, Jesus was not one to take no for an answer. Definitely not, "No way, we can't." And so Jesus said to them that day, "Just go see what you have and bring it. See what you have and bring it." And here's the outline that in my mind connects these two events. Jesus gives a command that is apparently impossible. We say, "No way, we can't do it." And Jesus says, "Go see what you have and bring it. Go see what you can actually do and do it." When the commandment from God is impossible, but God does not relent, then bring what you have and what you can do to God, and God will make what little you have enough. God will then grow it, God will expand it, and when you hand it over to God, will make it enough. You can't just sit around and say, "Oh, that's impossible," and do nothing, and not even give what meager effort you can give, and not even bring a few loaves and fish to give God something to work with for the impossible task. God's power can infinitely expand and multiply our efforts, but God does call upon us to give what little effort we are able to give. And that's, I think, the connection. When we bring the love, little love that we have, and hand it over to God and make an effort and understand that it's not enough and say, "Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my ability to love, to forgive, to have compassion on others." When you do that, just see if God doesn't multiply our meager efforts and make the miraculous, the impossible happen and grow in us a love that on our own we could not grow. God will take us to higher levels of compassion. When we give what little we have over to Him, God will take us to places we could never go on our own. And I see this principle over and over in Scripture, even in the giving of the Ten Commandments, the law itself. It is very clear that, and throughout Old and New Testament, you see, no one has ever kept the law. No one has ever kept the law in thought and word and deed. But God still gave it. And God still wants life on this planet to be lived within the boundaries of the Ten Commandments, even though they are clearly impossible for any human on his or her own to keep. And now here is Jesus, with the authority of God, adding an 11th impossible commandment: love one another even as I have loved you. And by this all people will see and know that you are my disciples, because of your love for one another. Do you see? When God commands what is clearly impossible, what God wants from us is to do what we can do and to bring it to Him in humility, asking for the power to fulfill the rest. And the only way we can fulfill the rest of the commandments, to love one another as Jesus loved us, is to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, to be transformed, to be changed from the inside and out. On our own, with the mere power of our own minds, our own will, our own discipline, we cannot do it. We will never love one another as Jesus loved us. On our own, it is clearly impossible. But doesn't Scripture say, with God, all things are possible? Maybe even you and I, being enabled to love one another as Jesus loved us, is possible. And my goodness, if we actually did that, what a witness that would be. If folks saw us loving one another as Jesus has loved us, they would know that Jesus, in fact, lives, has power, that God is active in the world because of the miraculous thing they were seeing before their eyes, the love that we share for one another. But I'm afraid our skepticism, Our cynicism, our broken hearts, our worn-out emotions have decided that this is just a nice idea. You know, poor Jesus, he meant well. But of course we can't love one another. How could we do that? Well, without God's help, true enough, without God's help, we cannot. So love is ultimately a decision. But it is a decision to ask God for the power to love in that way and then to grow into it and to actually do it. You cannot give God's love out of your heart unless you have God's love in your heart. And so love one another. It is the law, it is the prophets, it is the Bible boiled down and what you need to feel fulfilled. And what Jesus lived before us. It is all of that. Love one another more than words. It is a commandment you can keep with God's help. Pray for the power of God's Spirit to multiply what little you have and to make it enough to share. You have been given grace and love and forgiveness, and we rejoice in that. Pray for enough grace and love and forgiveness to overflow and share. And see if God doesn't multiply your capacity to do just that. Amen. Please stand. Receive this blessing. May you be blessed with the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and with the presence and the power, even in this moment, of God the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.